How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome to the Walk Podcast. Walk stands for Women Appointed to Lead in the Kingdom. Finally, a broadcast that focuses on the needs of women in ministry. Our purpose and mission for each episode is to encourage, support, and empower women in ministry as they serve and lead in the kingdom of God. So whether you are new to ministry, have been serving for a while, or still struggling with your calling, you are sure to find strength, motivation, courage, and advice through the many discussions and testimonies shared by our guests. Now, if you're ready to be inspired, here's your host, Pastor Clarissa Johnson.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me today for another episode of the Walk Podcast. We have been gone for a few weeks as we prepared for the Walk Conference, which was amazing. Let me just say, if you missed it, you missed a treat, but no worries. We are planning an even better time for next year. So as we continue to come on week after week, we'll be constantly updating you, letting you know what to expect, because I'm telling you, if you've never had the opportunity to actually experience a Walk conference, next year, you're going to definitely want to be in the house. The worship is amazing. The praise is amazing. The fellowship is amazing. The word is amazing. Let me just sum it up and say it is an amazing time, and you definitely don't want to miss the next one. And so I'm so excited to be back sharing these interviews with you of these many women that I've had the opportunity to meet and to interview, because they have such amazing stories and they've learned so much. And here we are, you know, think that we're all alone, but guess what? We are not. And so I'm so excited about being back. So let's get this show on the road. Today, my guest is minister and author Shanita Rousey. She is the author of The Power of You, and she's going to come and share with us her journey as a woman in ministry. She's going to share her beginning days, how she started in a smaller church, but then transitioned into a larger church. And so she's going to share her experience of the difference of the two. She's also sat under both male and female leadership, and she's going to share the difference that she've experienced under both types of leadership and let us know some of the things that we need to look out for, regardless whether we're under male leadership or female leadership. And I just really enjoyed talking to her and getting to know more about her journey as a woman in ministry. And so I'm so excited to bring her to you today. And so it's almost that time to go live. So I want you now to, you know, text a friend, call a friend, share this on your social media platforms. Let someone know that the new episode of the Walk Podcast is about to go live now. And so if you are ready to be inspired, here we go. Good morning, Miss Shanita. How are you this morning?
I am good, Pastor. How are you?
I am wonderful. So let me start off by thanking you for taking the time out of your day to actually join me on the walk and to share with myself as well as our listeners a little bit about your life and your journey as a woman in ministry and also becoming an author and your story. So I want to thank you personally for doing that.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes. And the first question that I always ask all of my guests is, tell us a little about Shanita Rousey. Who is she? What does she like to do in her spare time? Just tell me a little bit about who you are.
Okay. So Shanita Rousey is very much a quiet person. I really love being behind the scenes, and I love to travel. I love to spend time with my family. I love to write. I love to just enjoy life, because we know indeed that life is short, and so I really am in this whole mode of just living my life to the fullest and not doing anything that's, you know, not really vital, you know, to my life. And so I enjoy working in ministry. I enjoy learning new things. And I'm an author, so I definitely love that part, and I plan to do more things as God leads me.
Amen. How many books, I know we're going to talk about it later, but how many books have you written so far, authored so far?
So I was a co-author. That was my first book. I was a co-author. And then I just did my first solo project this year. And I have another book that I'm co-authoring with that's due August. But I plan to do two more this year.
Okay, wonderful. So we'll talk more about that. And that way you'll get a chance to share your books with the audience, so that way they can know where they can go purchase and experience the writings of author Shanita Rousey. What I want to ask you is, can you tell me your beginning days becoming to ministry?
You know, really the, you know, kind of initial call is when I was younger, we had what we call, you know, youth service. And our particular pastor at the time, she, you know, was like, okay, it's youth service, so what I'm going to start doing is having a youth get up and speak. And at first I was like, oh, my God, like I was like 12. I was like, no. But then, you know, in ministry since I was younger, I was like, okay, God, you know, and I'm a writer. So it really was easy for me to write it, but the whole speaking thing, I was just like, I don't know. But my very first sermon, I was 12 years old at a youth service, and I remember it, and I still have it written down. And it was, are you ready for battle? And I came out of Ephesians 6. And so that kind of, you know, opened it up. And, you know, I was like, okay, all right, God. And, you know, being in church, you know, in my younger years, I became very active. You know, I was a nurse. I was in a choir. I was an usher member. I was a secretary. I was a treasurer. It was just like so many things. But it was great, though, because, you know, it's there's nothing like really working in ministry from the ground up, right? You know,
yes,
people are so quick to be at a big church, but when you're at a smaller church, it's a whole situation in ministry.
You're preaching to the choir. I completely understand. When I started, when we planted our church, starting a church from the ground up and experiencing church when you growing up and didn't, you know, that it was already there, that's different when all the positions are filled and all of that.
Right.
It's a little bit different. But then when you're starting something from the ground up, and depending on where you are, a lot of times the church is small. So you end up wearing many hats, like you said, doing many things.
Lord.
You know, but it's all a part of, I believe that it's all a part of our making for like where you are today. You know, it's some things that you experience that you wouldn't have gotten if you had been probably in a larger church, because in a larger church, you can easily hide behind others. You can just sit down and, you know, so I completely understand that. And so as you was working in ministry young and doing a lot of things, tell me about your initial call. When did you finally realize this is, God is calling me to ministry? He's calling me to whatever you do in ministry. When did you realize that he was? What was that experience like? And did you immediately accept, or did you run like so many of us do? What was that like?
Absolutely, right? So I'll go back a little bit. So when I was 14, a pastor prophesied to me, and they began to say, you know, you like the good part of the prophecy, right? And she said, you know, God is going to cause, you're not going to have to work, and God is going to bless you, you're your husband. I was like, okay, you know, I get that part. And then next part, she said, you're going to be a pastor's wife. And I was like, And I was 14, and even at that time, I was like, no, that ain't what I want. But like you said, though, when God has a way of ordering your steps, so when I think about all the times that I worked in different areas of ministry, it's like God is kind of making me and molding me to know how to do a number of things, right?
Right,
so
right.
So about 7 years ago is when I actually accepted the call, and I didn't run from it. You know, it's something that you know that's there, Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, my thing is, you know, I just want to be behind the scenes, minister. Like, you know, come over here. Yeah, we can pray, you know. Yeah, I, you know, I got to worry over here in the corner. But I really wasn't, you know, into the limelight. Because we know that sometimes in church, people just want to be a minister just for the title, just so they can sit in a certain seat, just so they can walk down doing installation service. And I'm just like, no, I don't want that. Like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, you got, yeah, we all ministers, you know. So I didn't really run from it. I was just like, okay, God, if you're giving me this and really putting this in my possession, show me how to be the best minister I can be. I don't want to get just caught up in the hype of things. I really want to just say, you know, use me the way that you see fit. But I don't really have to have the limelight part of it. And that's how I kind of – it's really humbling because, you know, when God gives you that kind of mantle, even as a minister, I know people are, you know, they you know, you got bishops and apostles and prophets and all that. But even the title of minister, it comes with great responsibility. And I don't think people really realize that. They just think, oh, yeah, minister. But, you know, people want the title, but they don't want to do the work.
Right.
So I just didn't want to be that person.
So you knew that, okay, it's there, but if I'm going to do it, I want to do it right. I want to do it the right way. Within that, when you prayed that sincere prayer to God to show you how, what are some of the things that he taught you that you didn't learn from man? You know, because sometimes we learn from man and we copy what man has done. But what are some things, since you opened it up to him to teach you, that you learned that you didn't learn from man that has helped you along on your journey?
Well, here's one of the things. You know, it's interesting you said that you didn't learn from man because sometimes it really comes with trial and error, right? Sometimes when you're trying to find your way as a minister, as a preacher, you begin to probably mimic your pastor or mimic people that you see, and you try to flow the way they flow. It kind of reminds me of when David was going to fight Goliath, and Saul was trying to put on his armor, and David was like, this ain't working for me. This don't fit me. Let me do me, right? And so it's the same thing in ministry. It was a trial and error. You know, at first, when I first did, you know, you're trying to, I don't want to say be like the person, but you just want to do well, right?
Right,
You know, when I did that, I'm like, you know, God, I know I said what you said, but, you know, it wasn't pleasing to me, right? That's one thing. And then I think it's just a matter of just saying, God, okay, help me to say what you want me to say and not try to please people. Because sometimes as preachers, we get so caught up in the amen that we disobey the Father. Like, truly, we have an audience of one. And if God gives you the word, then he knows what's for the people. He knows what they need. And you have to be real, real truthful and real honest and say, okay, God, I'm going to say it the way you told me to say it, and I'm not looking for the applause, you know, or the amen. You know, it's not something to tip your ear, because we understand as preachers that every word ain't quote-unquote good word.
Right.
It's tough, right? Nobody likes the correction part of that thing. And so, you know, I think those are the two biggest lessons is doing it the way that God gives you and being okay with it, and then don't speak or do things just to hear the amen. If they come, that's awesome, but don't let that be your motivation, because it'll, you know, people are fickle. They'll turn on your amen day and they'll look at you sideways tomorrow.
Absolutely.
No, can't do it.
And I love that. And I do love that. And because when you're first answering the call of God, you answered, but you don't know. It's like, it's a whole new journey for you. And so all you have is those that have went before you to try to copy or mimic, or like you said, or whatever, you know. But you have to allow God to show you who he's called you to be. And one of the things that I tell my ministers at church is I have my own slogan. I say, allow God to be creative in you, because he's such a creative God, and he He created us all, and so he knows what's on the inside of us. And some of us may be more poetic. Some of us may be,
right.
you know, whatever that is, but however he inspires you, allow him to work through you the way he wants to express himself through you. And don't try to do
right.
it like me. Don't try to be, because, see, I always wanted to hoop and holler because that's what I grew up under. The pastors would hoop and holler, but I could never get one. And so I just had to learn how to be okay with what he has empowered
right.
me to do. And sometimes I still be wanting to do that hoop and holler because, you know, I just want to, but it ain't came. And and with those type of things. So you're one that didn't run, and you said yes. So for 7 years now, you have actually, I know you say you served in ministry and worked in ministry for 20 years, but you've been a minister for 7 years. I found that it's done differently all over the world. So when you were licensed or ordained, mm-hmm. Did you have a trial sermon, or how did that go for you? What was that like?
So the place where I was actually ordained was actually a smaller ministry. It was my second mm-hmm. church in my entire life. And what they did was I had really, because it was such a small church, I had technically done my sermon kind of multiple mm-hmm. times in different ways.
Okay.
So the actual day that we were ordained, we just did the anointing. They anointed us and they prayed for us. And we read some things and we got our license and we celebrated. But then that following week, I actually did do my quote-unquote official sermon as a minister. So it was done a little bit differently. But, yeah, it was, it's kind of surreal. Like,
mm-hmm.
you see it, it's like, okay, you do your first sermon, it's like, oh, Lord. It's not like you ain't did it before, technically.
Right.
But it's
yeah.
still that, you know, you're feeling, you know, you got the jitters still, which is good.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, did you marry a pastor?
I didn't. Not as of yet. So I don't know if God still has it on the calendar somewhere.
Okay.
But not as of yet.
But what you do know that if it come, it wouldn't shock you because it has been prophesied to you. And you're ready. You're gonna be ready. Whenever
I'm gonna be ready.
I'm going to be ready when it comes. So
that's
now
it.
That you've been a minister for 7 years, and I know you said from your first church, so you moved your membership to another church.
So my home church was, you know, where I did my first sermon as a youth, and then we moved to a smaller church, and then now I'm at a bigger church. Now
that you are a minister in the larger sector versus where you were, what are some things that you've learned, the difference of how ministry is operated in a smaller church versus a larger church?
You know what? You know how they say there's something at every church?
Mm-hmm.
So with bigger churches, you know, it's smaller churches, you have the many hats that you have to wear because there's limited people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I
right.
find even in sometimes in bigger churches, it's the same issue. Sometimes
okay.
you get the issue of people are there, but they ain't really working. They're just using their seniority rights, you know.
Uh-huh.
I've been here a long time, so I'm just going to stay here. But I ain't going to really do nothing, though. So I'm going to stay here and just be in your way.
Okay.
So you have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like I said, in the bigger churches, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to do. So it's really
mm-hmm.
just finding your place, listening to God and say, okay, God, where is my place at this bigger ministry and still working? Because
right.
I'm very active. So for me, I don't try to hide in the big church. You know, what
mm-hmm.
I do is say, okay, God, show me where it is. Because it was really awesome because I was like, okay, there's more opportunities. There's other ministries that I can operate in that's already existing that I want
right.
to do. And so,
right.
you know, for my new church, we had to do, you know, you join, you do membership class. And, you know, in my mind, I already had what I wanted to do. I was like, I want to be on outreach, right? And so
mm-hmm.
that week, the day that I joined, they had a membership marathon that Saturday. So I didn't have to do the whole, you know, 4 weeks. I could do everything
mm-hmm.
in one day. So I was real happy. And so after that hit, I immediately got in ministry and outreach. And when I was there, I really went for a servant heart. And I said, okay. What we got going on? What can I help in? And I began to help and move. And it's interesting when it's your season to do a certain thing because God will move people out the way. And next thing
Ooh.
I know, I was a leader. And I was like, what? Like, I just
wow.
came, you know, And it's because it's how you serve. Because here's the thing. When I serve, my objective is to help the leader, right? My thing is to make it less stressful for the leader. And so I would just do little things, whether it was writing notes. You know, I was just taking notes for myself, honestly. And they were like, oh, you took notes for the meeting? And they were like, yeah. And so I gave it to them, you know. And I showed up here, and I picked up this, and I, you know, just taking the initiative, because sometimes we just see something, and then nobody wants to do anything. Like, hello.
Right.
That's your opportunity when God shows you. And so as I begin to just serve, and next, like I said, they think I know I was in a leadership position. I was like, oh, okay, God. All right.
So for me,
it was awesome. There's a lot of opportunities, a lot of, you know, things to do. And so I was just really excited about being in ministry. But it does come with challenges, like I said, you know, with the security thing, and, you know, some people just don't want to work. Or sometimes it can be just difficult working with people.
Right. It can definitely be difficult working with people, but you cannot be in ministry and not work with people, you know?
Absolutely.
So you got to find out, oh, God, now you called me to something that, I don't do good with people. So now you got to allow him to teach you how to love his people.
I'm telling you, it's a whole lesson.
It's definitely a whole lesson. So outside of that, what are some unique experiences or challenges that you feel that you have had to contend with and face on your journey as a woman in ministry?
Okay. Being a woman in ministry and working with a male leader, and let's be real accurate here, a married man, right? They're your leader, and this leader has a wife, right?
Right.
But this wife doesn't want to be in ministry, but she wants to be here just to watch her man, right? That you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it makes it difficult because, you know, it makes it difficult for you to work with them and to really help and serve them and honor them because of this issue. And sometimes it's just conflicting, you know what I mean? Just because it can be, people can just think what they want to think and not understand that you're really coming from a servant's heart. And I've had that issue. And it's just, it was real discouraging because you know it's not your intent, but there's nothing that you can really do about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's up to show love and you say, God, you got to deal with this, right? I think another issue is just being who you are. People can really hate you without knowing you, right? They see that you're gifted. They see that God is using you. They see that you're on different levels. And they would just begin to dislike you just because, right?
Wow.
And
right.
God has a way of making that person get even closer to you, whether, you know, it's an assignment or you're in a certain ministry together. And just the whole component of loving them through it, right?
Without
having an attitude, without lashing back, you know, without, you know, my favorite word now is being petty, right? And so... It can be difficult sometimes because my thing is I'm coming to ministry to do ministry, right?
I don't really
want to fight these other surrounding battles. But sometimes it does occur, and it's just, for me, I'm learning that you have to stay prayed up and you have to, you know, evaluate self before you, you know, try to react. And use your own fleshly words and desires and things you want to say and do. God, I really want you to be visible. I really want you to be seen through me. So help me to deal with this.
And the last thing
I'll say in regards to that is sometimes you're dealing with insecure leaders. Sometimes leaders thinking that because you're operating that you want their position. And it's not the case. It's just a matter of how I operate, and I want to do it in excellence. And so, you know, you just have to be mindful of those and just really stay prayerful, praying for that leader, praying for you, praying for the team, because at the end of the day, it's about the people that we serve.
Right. Absolutely. When you went through those unique experiences or challenges, what do you think that the lesson that you learned, because I feel that everything that we go through, we should pull something from it. And whether that's for us later or for us to teach later. So when you find yourself or anyone, especially our listeners that have a male leader, what are some things that God taught you in that
stressful situation, how to handle that, what could you give the audience that if they find themselves in such a triangle or situation, how to successfully handle that?
Right. You know, I think the first thing is really understanding the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because later on, I had a conversation with the leader, and I said, you know, I'm not sure how to handle your wife. I was really honest. And, you know, they begin to just tell me some different things in terms of things in their past and a relationship. And so what mm-hmm. I really discovered was she was really broken and she was really okay. insecure. And there were some things that occurred. And I said, okay, God, how do I handle this, right? And so really mm-hmm. it was just what God says. It really is to just love that person. You're speaking to that person even if they don't speak to you. You know, you're praying for that person. And then you're making sure that what you are doing doesn't look like anything else, right? You know, because sometimes right. we can do something and not think that it affects the person, but it does.
Right.
And it's not saying that you have to babysit their issue, but you just have to be mindful that there is an issue. And it's not mm-hmm. nothing you can solve. It's something that they have to have an encounter with God with. And so mm-hmm. I think it's just being open, because sometimes we can be offended and we're only looking at our side, right? How
right.
they did something
right, right.
neat. And we're never looking
right.
at the other person. So I think that's
absolutely.
The first thing, is just really being mindful of what you're dealing with, right?
Absolutely.
And just
absolutely.
Loving through it.
We have all types of experiences of things that we have to go through. And I think that that is very important as a woman in ministry, that if we have a male leader, let me say that, and they mm-hmm. are married, regardless if the wife is that, she is still our pastor's wife, and we have to respect
right.
her as such. I believe that how we respect her also allows the other members that, you know what I'm saying, that is not a leader,
right.
you know, they get to learn from us. How do we honor her? How do we respect her? But definitely never make her feel like this is me. I feel that if she has insecurities, no, I can't fix her insecurities. But it's like you said, I'm going to do all that I can do to make sure that mm-hmm. she don't have to feel insecure around me. You got what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Some things you can't fix because that's other people's battles and issues. But what I can do, what I can do is I'm going to make sure that you don't have that to worry about from me, you know, and
right.
and that's good that, you know, you was able to go to your pastor and say, hey, look, I don't know how to handle this. Can you tell me how to handle this? So I
right.
think that is wonderful. And then just the challenges of being in the bigger church, and learning that people don't want to, that's very frustrating for me sometimes, because I feel like, don't you see that this needs to be done, you know? But
right.
one of the things that you said is that God knows how to move people out the way for you when it's your time. When it's time for God to move, it will happen, and you don't have to fight about it. You don't have to, you know,
mm-hmm.
none of that. But you still got to be faithful, you know? You still got to be faithful
right.
in that season of, like, why don't they just move? Or whatever the situation may be, do you feel that you learned ministry in a different way, on a different level at the larger church? Because, and I'm asking that because I came from a smaller church, but then when I went to a larger church, the rim of my knowledge was expanded more
mm-hmm.
than what I would have ever gotten from the smaller church. And so, but it prepared me for
mm-hmm.
where I'm at today, put it like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely believe that a bigger church will stretch you from the level of teaching itself. You know, since for me, when God moved me from a church to another church, there was a reason, but there was an expansion in knowledge and growth just from hearing the word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and then has for me, I am very quiet and I'm observant. So
right.
I can be in a place and I'm looking around and I can see so much that's going on and I can put pieces together. And
mm-hmm.
I think the first thing is really stop looking at the people and really
right.
come to ministry, come to church for what you came for, right? And don't
right,
get
right, right.
so tangled up inside cliques and, you know, different discussions about X, Y, and Z, because before you know it, you being the new kid on the block, they're messing around and says, you said something, right?
Right.
Like, no,
right,
I don't even know
right,
you.
Right, right, right.
And
right.
so being mindful of being careful of that. And then, like I said, just being in ministry getting active, but then just understanding and really developing yourself. It's kind of really challenging yourself in ministry. And even especially as a minister, our pastor did this past year, we had an alignment, and he had the ministers to serve in different areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes mm-hmm. as a servant, you know, as a minister, I should say, we forget that we're meant to serve. So whether that's
right.
cleaning the bathroom, whether that's, you know, ushering, whatever the case may be, is really remaining humble, not being,
right.
you know, so big that you say, oh, I can't go out there and witness. Like, what do
right.
I look like?
Yeah.
A minister? So it's just that thing of really staying humble. Don't let the big church, the big name, you know, get you to be the big head, because it can. You know, people that
yeah.
can be at, you know, Bishop Jake's church or whatever church, they can just be like, oh, I go to Bishop Jake's church. Like, you know, okay,
right.
what that mean? You still
right,
kind of want
right, right.
God.
Right.
It's really just understanding your place and your role and just operating to the fullest and not doing it for recognition or, you know, or thinking that, you know, oh, if my pastor see me, oh, then I'll do it. Don't be that kind
right.
of minister, because, you know, God is looking. And so
right.
you can just kind of get caught up in some of those things being in the bigger church, because, well, you know, when you're at a smaller church, we see you.
Right.
So you can't have room,
boo.
To get the big head.
I see you.
I love it.
You ain't got room to get the big head. We here.
Yeah, you keep it going. I see you. You're absolutely right about that. Within that, and at the end of the day, you're serving from the heart, and that kind of goes back to what you said in the beginning. I asked God, you prayed and asked God to show me how, because a lot of people do want ministry for the fame and for the name and not the responsibility of it. And I was just telling my bishop that I was doing a ministry and leadership training for my ministers that is coming up to be licensed, because I want them to know that when he said, you put your hands to that plow and don't look back, that this is work. This is not about fame. This is not about any of that. This is really work. And there's a lot of pain to tend with when you do a ministry. There's a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot of things that you have to go through in ministry. And so you're looking at what it looks like to somebody else, but you don't know what a person has to deal with, any minister, any pastor that they're actually dealing with. And it's not an easy task.
Right.
Nobody can't say that it's an easy task. So you have to really be serious about your yes and all that comes with your yes, because fame may be in there, but some other things are going to come along with that fame. I've lost
exactly.
friends. I've lost friends behind my yes. Okay. I've had arguments in my household about my yes.
Mm.
And so that yes comes with a lot of things that you have to actually sit down and consider. And I think that being able to go through a training program or have someone like a mentor that can help groom you
right.
and prepare you for all sides of ministry, because it's so much more to it than just a name. It's really so much more to it. And it is about God's
Absolutely.
People. That's mainly what it's all about. So if you could tell me, out of ministry, your 7 years of ministry, or even the 20 years, what is one of the biggest lessons that you've learned as your journey as a woman in ministry?
The biggest, I would think, you know, in terms of being submissive to your leader and really listening and obeying. Not saying that I'm a disobedient servant or anything like that, but it was an experience when I was in ministry at a church, and my leader, you know, we were very close, and even just in personal life, she would direct me in different areas of my life, and there was sometimes that I really didn't listen. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, how we can have that selective hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And the lesson that I didn't listen on, it really brought pain and a lot of unnecessary hurt if I would have listened. And
right.
I think, you know, going back into the, you know, the other thing I was speaking about is just being submissive to your leader and really honoring them on a high level. Like,
mm-hmm.
don't you know, disregard their position. Don't become so common with your leader that you stop listening, right?
Right.
You know, even
right,
if
right,
you
right.
go out to eat or whatever, you have side conversations, still respect them as your leader that God has placed in your life at this time and really honor them. And like I said, I wasn't like I was, you know, a disobedient, you know, prodigal son type child. But even, you know, it's just the level of just submission and mm-hmm. just, you know, just not taking your leader for granted. Because the thing of it is that they are really here to watch over our soul. And, you know, it's your job to make it easier for them. Let, you know, let them be able to do it with joy. And so I think that's just my biggest lesson. You know, it's not, you know, probably not even big to somebody, but for me it's really big because I know that's where my blessings flow. You know, I know that's where God really allows things to reign in your life when you really honor your leader on a high level, even in just listening to them. Because you think about mm-hmm. that, if you would listen more instead of doing your own thing, you can prevent things from happening in your life. People think that, oh, everything just happens. No, sometimes we provoke issues because we won't listen. And that's even with God. God can tell you not to do something, and you mess around and provoke, you know, that relationship for 18 years that you really didn't want, or that, you know, drug addiction because you decided to try something that you shouldn't try. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because God doesn't deliver us from everything. Some things he going to say, nope, daughter, you're going to have to go through that because you wanted it, so I'm going ahead and give it to you.
Wow, yes. That is so true. And I thank you for sharing that and saying that because I have a minister that came to the church and she said God told her, do not become common with her. You will not become common with her. And when you are a small ministry, you tend to be closer because you're like family. It's a small knit ministry, you know. And I won't say that we have not became close, but she never. And she's older than I am. Okay, she's like 20 years my senior. She's older than me, but she respects me as her pastor. You know, she might not like everything that I say. And when she told me, God told me, I will not become coming with you. I used to be like, oh, that's okay.
You want to
be close? You know, I kept, you know, I'm like, no, you know, come on, let's talk, let's, you know. But now I understand it because, and she breaks it down because I need to be able to receive from you when I need to be able to receive from you. I need to be able to be rebuked from you, okay? Because that's a big part of ministry too, when I need to be rebuked from you. And what I found is those that have came to me without the reverence of, you are my pastor. I know in words that we say that that's my pastor, but it got to be in the heart. Because when your pastor comes to you about church or business or your life, you have to be able to fully respect me as a pastor. You can't look at me as Clarissa at that moment. You have to be able to shift. And it's hard for people to shift. And so when you said that, that is so key. And so many of us strive to be close to the pastor. I mean, we really do. But can I really receive from the pastor in totality? Not just the word on Sunday, but when they're rebuking me, when they're correcting me, when they're giving me sound advice. And like you said, I don't listen. And I don't know what your situation was. I don't know if you want to share it or not. But what I do know is that, you know, sometimes if we listen, just like our parents, if we listen, it could save us a whole lot of heartache, especially listening when it comes to things of God, because we don't know some things. You got what I'm saying? And they've done this before, or they've experienced it before, and they're trying to save you some of this, or they're trying to tell you that according to the word, this is wrong, you know, but you're a free will agent and you get to do those things. But the heartache that comes behind it. And so that's what I appreciate you sharing, that there was an experience that I did not listen. And that one thing that I did not listen on, it caused me some pain.
Right. You just think about that. We can look at Moses. That one act, because he listening to the people. He messed around and missed the promised land.
Yeah.
Because you listening to people, right? And so we can get so caught up, and I'm grown. Like, just like you said, if she's your senior, she could technically be like, girl, I'm older than you. ain't gotta listen to you about my life. You know what I mean? And so we have to really think about that. Like, it's not, you know, what my pastor said too. It's like, are you willing to let me pastor you? It's the difference from me, you being under me, because people be under me, you know, as long as I ain't saying nothing crazy to them. But letting me pastor you, that means that you're going to allow me to show you, teach you, and then you respond in a certain way, right?
Yeah.
And so we have to be real careful about that. You know, okay, can you be pastored? You know, can somebody tell you something? You not be offended. You not lead a church. You not, you know, as we the people do now, they go viral when they do videos and everything else. Can you, you know, respond accordingly?
Ooh, now that's good. That's good. That's good, Shanita. That is good. Will you allow me to pastor you? That is good. Wow. That is good. And so for any ministers, I'm serious, but any ministers that are out there listening, anyone that's in training, respect your leader, honor your leaders, and make sure that they're not just your pastor in your mouth, but they're also a pastor in your heart, that you are submitting yourself up under them and that you are allowing them to be who you say they are, which is your pastor. But then all those pastors that are out there listening, learn that you want to have that place of being a pastor at all times. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the best friend today and the pastor tomorrow. You got to be the pastor always first. I'm not saying that we won't have a close relationship, but you got to be pastor first. And there are people that we can befriend. However, those people are special, and they're going to know how to shift. They're going to know how to shift in the moment, because I have a couple in my church that, okay, we might be acting like we're friends, but I'll shift on you in a minute and go into pastor mode. And when I shift, I will. I'll shift on you in a minute. And can you shift with me? Can you not shift with me? You know, I have quite a few pastor friends that they have, like, you know, a few people that they have befriended. You know, sometimes it's hard to not befriend, but you got to learn how to set those boundaries and all of those things. Right. So I thank you for sharing that part of your journey, because that is so important to the life of a minister, period. That's important to a minister that has to submit to someone else. Your pastor today, is that a female or male?
It's male. Bishop R.J. Burt.
Okay, Miss Bishop R.J. Burt. Now, let me ask you this. But before, you had a woman pastor?
Yes. My first, when I was at my home church, it was a male pastor. And then I had a female pastor, and then now I have a male pastor.
All right. So here's a big question. The big question is, from your own personal experience, do you see a difference in a male from your experience versus the pastor as a woman? Did you see any difference? And did you have a preference? And I know that we ain't supposed to say, but I want to be real here, okay?
Right.
Because it's all about us growing. It's all about us learning. And this is what this podcast is about. So from you have had the experience of sitting under both a male and a female, what can you say that you, if there is a difference that you've seen and maybe learn?
Okay. So I'll start off. I don't have a preference because I believe that God will allow me to operate under my leader, whether they're male or female. But for the female, I think there can be a greater connection.
Mm-hmm.
You feel, you know, still, you know, respecting them and all that, but just a different connection. But what I did see and notice from a woman pastor is that they have to, it seems like they have to push harder. As pastors, they have to, you know, like, it seems like sometimes they have to prove themselves that God has called them to be a pastor and to do X, Y, and Z. And so you can, as a woman, to a woman, you can kind of feel their struggle. You can feel the pain and the hurt that they endure from that. And even with my pastor, she was married, but her husband wasn't active at the ministry. You know, he's a musician. He plays at different churches. But you can tell that even that piece was a struggle for her. So if you can see it in church, just imagine being at home, right? God has called you. And so, you know, as a pastor, if you're married and you're the pastor, you still have to go and honor your husband and submit and say, okay, babe, is it okay for me to do X, Y, and Z, even, you know, as a pastor, right?
Yeah.
And so it's still that component of seeing her have to, you know, it's like the lack of support. Or, you know, because the thing about it is, whether you're whatever you're doing, you want your spouse to be there, right? You want your spouse support.
Yes.
And so I've seen her deal with that. And like I said, just the struggle of being a leader, period. And just seeing, you know how they operate in a different place than a man, right? And even a response from men. Because if you're a pastor, a female pastor, and you have men under you, sometimes that's hard. Because sometimes they want to see a male there. Even if he's not the pastor, they still want to see it. And so for me, it's just seeing the struggle for women, and you can just relate, you know, in different industries, whether you are at work or not. You know what I mean? You have the men that they get all this honor and respect, and it seems like the women have to prove who she is, even though she's the one doing the work. Because you think sometimes when a male can be a pastor, but there's a female. There's a female in the background making it all come together, right? And so I think that's the struggle. And I, you know, it's kind of painful. So it really has a minister, has a servant. It helped me to push more to help her do ministry because I've seen that struggle.
God bless you. Is she still around? I hope she get a chance to listen to this. That speaks volumes of her leadership. You basically, what you said to me is she didn't lead any differently. She just had a struggle. Her struggle was different because she had to fight to lead. And that's what this ministry of walk is about, because we do have to fight sometime to lead. And I just believe that honestly, that if God has called us, it's hard to serve where you got to fight.
Right.
If you got to fight to be who God has called you to be. But here's the pastor that has so much to contend with, all because she's a female. Nothing else, but simply because she's a female. And I thank God for, at the moment, probably when she needed the most, that you was there to help her fight the battle. And that I appreciate that daily from the members of mine that helped me fight the battle. But then, like you said, there's so much to learn when you are a pastor and you have men in your congregation. It's just so much that you have to contend with. There's so much that you have to do. And when you do have someone that get it, when you have someone that understands, they try to make your load as light as possible. So I thank God for her leadership. I thank God for you being there for her at that time. And I pray that she get a chance to hear, you know, your interviews, so she knows that, hey, I got it. I grabbed it a long time ago, and I was there in that. And so I appreciate that. And I'm glad to know that in the leadership realm, there was not a difference. It was the fight of how we had to lead was the difference. And so that is encouraging. So thank you for sharing that. What I do want to ask you now, and thank you so much. I want to ask you about the author of Miss Rousey. Tell me, so you've been writing all your life. You like to write. You told me that you were doing that from a young girl. And so when you decided to publish a book, was it always a dream and a goal to do that?
Absolutely. Years ago, I had the title, but I was just like, I kept saying I'm writing this book. And I bet people were looking at me like, really? Okay. All right. And years had passed. But what I did find out is that God doesn't allow you to release it until it's really time. And it's not just about writing a book, just say I wrote a book, but the simple fact of how it helped me. The power of you is about dealing with your insecurities, your things of your past, understanding your purpose, discovering really who you are in God. And I'll share very quickly, I had a pain from my own family member. When I was younger, they used to call me ugly and say everything, and I could never please this person. And it really hurt me to my core. And I didn't realize that it hurt me until I got older and I became, you know, the person looking for love in all the wrong places. And I was like, this is this insecurity here. Where did it come from? And one day I was just asking God, where did this come from? What is the root of this issue? And he was brought back to my remembrance when I was younger. And so I had to really talk to myself, and I began to write. And God began to tell me who I was, and he began to tell me, you know, why it happened. He began to tell me, you know, what is my purpose in it, and how I can overcome these different issues. And so I decided to put in a book, and I said, oh, God, okay, that's where the name came, The Power of You, because at the time when I said it, I didn't know where it came from. But wow. I know that it has blessed me, and God allowed me to bless other people. So, you know how they say, you know, your pain and your purpose, and, you know, I'm like, okay, God, I definitely understand. I definitely get it. So I'm grateful to God for the experience and for writing the book, because it's really been helpful to me.
As you're talking to a audience of women in ministry, how will your book inspire them? What do you think they'll get out of that if they actually purchase this book?
So women in ministry, first of all, they will really, like we were just talking about, the struggle to lead. It will really help you to identify who you are, who God says you are, because so many times we idolize what people say about us and we ignore what God says about us. So when we really take time to say, okay, this is who I am, this is who God said I am, it builds the confidence. It builds the security. It builds you up personally, right? And then when you really decide, okay, God, here I am. I understand who I am, but I got these issues. What do I do about these issues? And God will allow you to read, to walk through the process and say, you know, yeah, you have these issues, but this is how you overcome. And the thing that sometimes we miss as women in ministry, women in life, is that we don't want to deal with our issues. We don't want to deal with our baggage. We hold it, we put it in the closet, we wrap it up, we put it on the board, but we don't really want to deal with it. And so we have to deal with our issues, be willing to do the work, because as ministers too, if God gives us a word, we have to be also in a place where we say, God, help me to live out that word, right? We don't want to be the person to say, you did X, Y, and Z. But no, we want to be the person that's like, you know, I did it too, and this is how I came through. So as women, it'll help you to really define who you are. It'll help you to deal with your issues so you can overcome it. So that way those issues don't become your stumbling blocks, because, you know, sometimes we create our own chaos. And so we have to be mindful of that and say, I don't even want to hide this mess no more. I want to be gone. Right? And so to really deal with it. And then the last thing, it'll help you to really own your power, own who you are in God, and say, yeah, I've had this, but you know what? This is the reason why I can do ministry the way I do, because I've had the issue, and now I've gotten rid of it, and I can help you get rid of it, right? And so, you know, it's important to own your power. It's important to say, you know, I got my power back because I've decided to understand and embrace who I am in God, and understand that I belong here, even as a woman, right? Like, you know, it's not, it's not a man's world. Yeah, girls really do rule the world.
Oh, I love it. So tell us, how can we purchase a copy of The Power of You?
Absolutely. You can get The Power of You at www.shanitarousey.com, and I'll spell it shanitarousey.com.
Awesome. Is there any other, I know you said you had a collaboration, any other books or products that you would like to share at this time?
Absolutely. So next month I'll be releasing another book. It's called Woman of Disguise. It's coming from a single, married, divorced, and widow perspective for women, of how we have, you know, hidden our issues, you know, we've hidden our pain and our hurt. When it comes to our relationship experiences and how we've overcome and how we've actually, you know, been broken, but we're healed, right? And so that's the next book project that comes out in August. And I'll share, too, that later this year I'll be doing a devotional, because that's really what I wanted to do in the beginning. But I love devotional, so that'll be coming out this fall.
Wonderful. Okay, great. So outside of that, do you have any upcoming events that you are part of, any venturing things where anyone can actually, if they're in your area, that they can, you know, fellowship with you or come and see you and probably even purchase a book in person?
Absolutely. This Saturday, actually, I'll be in Racine, Wisconsin. I'll be at the Empowerment Lunch they have going on from 10 to 2 in Racine. And actually, I'll be in Georgia in August. The National Book Club Conference is coming up in August, so I'll be there for 3 days. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. And what type of conference is it? What are they doing?
It's the National Book Club Conference. So Jennifer Lewis is going to be there, Chuck McMillan. So it's different authors all across the world. They're going to be coming, and we're going to be having an opportunity to be a vendor to sell books. So I'm excited.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I love the color of your book. It's so beautiful, the lavender, the purple and the teal. It kind of reminds me of the Walk logo. You got the exact same colors in the book. If you look at the Walk logo, the exact same colors. I love it, and I will definitely definitely purchasing a copy. Now, on the website, is it just hardback copy, or can they also purchase it in ebook form?
Yes, actually, the ebook form is actually available on Amazon.
Okay.
There's an ebook version on Amazon, so they can just type in my name, and then that'll come up as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I want the real book. It's so beautiful and colorful and pretty. And
yeah, I love touching books.
Yeah, you know, I love books. I do. With my life, though, I just feel like my life is so busy. So a lot of time I don't get a chance to sit down and read like I used to.
Right.
So what I like to do now is Audible is my next best thing, or the Kindle, because if I download the Kindle version on my Kindle Fire, I can just hit play and it will, while I'm cleaning, while I'm cooking, while I'm riding, while I'm doing this, I'm still getting
right.
the book. You know what I mean? You have to be
exactly.
creative sometime when you get busy. You got to
you
figure
do.
Out how can I still do what I like to do, but still I got other things that I have to do. And so that has been my challenge, trying to actually find the time to sit down, because
yeah.
as a pastor, we got Bible study material. You got leadership training that you're trying
mm-hmm.
to do. So you're reading and you're studying and you're researching and you know, so my pastime, I don't really get a time to really sit down as much as I would like to do that.
Right.
I still want to order the book. So even if I do the Kindle version, I still want the book because it's just pretty. And I would like to have that actually in my possession. So thank you so much for coming on to share with us today. I have totally enjoyed you and some of the experience and the lessons that God have taught you along your journey as a woman in ministry, in hopes that it will help someone else. What I want to ask you now is if you would just share with everyone how they can connect you through your social media outlets and any other things that you may want to share.
Yeah, absolutely. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn under author Shanita Rousey, and so you can definitely follow me there. You can actually get a free chapter of my book when you go on the website, put in your email address, and then you can be added to my email list, and then I will definitely email you, you know, in the future, things that's coming up and words of encouragement and motivation and inspiration and all that. And so definitely www.shanitarousey.com also has all that information on there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, Ms. Shanita Rousey, it has truly been a honor and a pleasure to sit here and to chat with you. Thank you again for being transparent and sharing your journey with us. I only have one more thing to ask you to do, and if you would, I will ask for you to end us out in prayer. Just say a prayer to end this broadcast, and pray for those listeners that have actually had a chance or will have a chance to listen in and share in on your experience.
Absolutely. God, we just want to say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for this day, this opportunity, oh God. We thank you for breathing life into us, oh God. We appreciate you, God. We love you and honor you, God. And God, we ask that you even would just step in into our hearts, oh God, and just cleanse us, oh God, from anything, oh God, we said, done, or actions, oh God, that wasn't pleasing to you, Father God. And I ask that you will touch every woman that's going to listen, every person that's going to listen to this broadcast, God, I ask that you would bless them, oh God, strengthen their hearts, God, restore to them, oh God, the joy of their salvation, God. God, give them a will, God, give them a desire, oh God, give them an unction, Father God, to do it your way, God. Help them, oh God, to keep a servant's heart, God, help them to keep a pure heart and a pure motive before you, Father God. And I ask that you just bless them, oh God, even as they go, Father God, that let them know that you are always with them. And God, that you are always their guide. And God, you will protect them, oh God, and you will carry them, oh God, in every situation, God. I ask that you would help their unbelief even now, Father God. The people that's doubting to say that it's not even possible, God. God, give them a confidence, Father God, to let them know that they are the person, oh God, for the job, and that you have qualified them, oh God, and that you are with them, oh God, and every door, God, that you would open, Father God, no man can close it. So we thank you, Father God, for open doors, open opportunities, oh God. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to serve at a higher level, God. So I ask that you bless each person even now, God, that you will strengthen their hearts even in their current role, Father God, as they transition, Father God. Make it easy for them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I thank you for every connection. I thank you, for God, that for every leader, God, you would do great things, oh God. And I'm expecting, oh God, miracles. I'm expecting, oh God, good reports. Even now, Father God, we just bless you, oh God, and we give you glory and we give you honor. And I ask that you even bless the host, God, even now, God. As she continue to push, God, you continue to push, God. You are pushing blessing. You are pushing overflow. You are pushing, oh God, an outpour of opportunity, oh God. I thank you, Father God, even now the world will know her name, God. So we bless you. We give you honor and we give you glory, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Ms. Shanita, for coming on with me today. And I pray that you have a wonderful and blessed day, and that this, when you have your conference coming up, that you will sell out of your books. Amen. You'll have a prosperous vendor event. And I look forward to staying connected with you. So enjoy your day and God bless you. Okay.
Thank you. You too. Have an amazing day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it, everyone. That was minister and author Shanita Rousey. You can also connect with her on her website, www.shanitarousey.com. There you can have the opportunity to purchase her book, also to read her blog, and just to actually get to know more about her. Also, you can also connect with her through social media outlets from there as well. And so make sure that you take the time to connect with her. And also, if you enjoyed her interview, send her a message to let her know that she was a blessing to you today. And so not only do we want you to reach out to her, but if you've enjoyed this broadcast or if you're enjoying the Walk podcast as a whole, please make sure that you like us on Facebook, but also on whatever social media platform that you're listening to us on. Make sure you leave us a rating and also even leave us a comment to let us know that you're enjoying the information that is being shared on the Walk podcast. Also, if you are a woman that has a experience or a story to share, please go to our website, www.clarissajohnson.com, and there you can submit in a request to be a guest on our show. If you would like to leave us a donation or even be a sponsor, you can also find that information as well out on the website. And that again is www.clarissajohnson.com. Well, we're at the end of another episode of the Walk Podcast, and I pray that you have been blessed by what has been shared. I want you to make sure that you're sharing this on your social media platforms, as well as letting other people know that we are here inspiring, encouraging, and supporting women in ministry all across the world, and they do not want to miss the testimonies of so many great women that are sharing their personal journey and their lessons that they've learned along the way. And so until next week, I pray that you have a wonderful, amazing, and blessed week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Walk Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, we ask that you show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing. And hey, if it's not too much to ask, share it with your friends on social media. If you would like the show notes from the show, simply email us at walk@clarissajohnson.com for more information on how you can sow into this ministry, be a sponsor, or how you can be a guest on the show. Go to www.clarissajohnson.com and click on the podcast tab. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for 100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get 100 off a cocktail maker when you spend 400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.